Jim Fusilli is many things. He's an award-winning mystery writer. He has also written a book on Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys album Pet Sounds. He writes for the Wall Street Journal as a pop music critic, and he's also served as an occasional contributor to NPR's All Things Considered. He's on with us from the studios of WGBH in Boston. Jim, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Talking first about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which passes its 40th anniversary this year. Let me just start with kind of a general overview to get sort of your take on things. First of all, when were you born?
I was born in 1953.
So can you recall your first contact with this album when it came out in 1967, or when you did absorb this as a piece of music?
I remember Sgt. Pepper coming out. I don't think I saw it as a significant leap over the earlier things that the Beatles did. I liked the early Beatles quite a lot. By 67, there was just so much music to be heard that I'm sure I gave it the weight that it deserved, but it didn't capture my attention like say Beatles 65 did, or any of the great Beach Boys albums of the period.
Mm-hmm. Was it a difficult listen in some ways, do you recall?
No, because I thought then, and I think now, that it's a very pleasant album. I think Paul's songs on the album are eminently listenable. They're completely memorable, and you can fall into the album pretty quickly.
So throughout the years, as magazines like Rolling Stone and others have been asking readers and writers to rate the top rock albums of all time, and the first wave of this sort of ranking business that I think kind of began about 20 years ago, Sgt. Pepper was popping up as number one on, or in the top three, say, of virtually all of these surveys. Why did that happen?
Well, I do think it's a good album. I think Sgt. Pepper is a good album. I think if that is sort of root bedrock way to look at this thing. It's a good album, very clever songs, sung, played, and produced very well. For me, that's all that matters. There's a lot of sociology that's brought into play when people analyze Sgt. Pepper. There's a cultural commentary that always comes in when people are talking about Sgt. Pepper, but to me that doesn't matter. People try to make more of this than they really should. I mean, this is a work of art as music, and it works very well. When you start burdening it with other ideas about how it influenced the culture and how it reflected the zeitgeist, and is it important or is it not important, it really overburdens the music. And the thing about Sgt. Pepper is it's a very good album. Anything other than that, it's sort of amateur hour for opinions of people who are sort of missing what's very special about this thing.
Well, let's delve into that. I'm sure you've had some thoughts about what is special about it. Let's lift all that weight away and strip it down to the music. When you listen to that album today, what hits a responsive chord still and makes you nod and say, yeah?
Well, I think what I like the most about Sgt. Pepper is that it's a very clever way to present a bunch of rock songs. I think the concept of it by the Beatles and George Martin was very clever. I don't think Sgt. Pepper is significantly better than Revolver. And I don't think, frankly, it's the best Beatles album. I think Rubber Soul is a better album than Sgt. Pepper. But the Beatles were very clever, and this is their cleverness at its height. I do think that there are some wonderful songs on it, perhaps not fully realized. To me, even though most of the songs on the album, Sgt. Pepper, are 3-4 minutes long, they still sound like snippets to me. They're very few fully realized pieces that have a beginning, middle, and end. But I do like a lot of the stuff very much. My favorite song on the album is Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite. And whenever I tell my friends about this, they always sort of dismiss it as just a kaleidoscopic piece of John Lennon having fun with words and music. And to me, that's the essence of the album, having fun with words and music. I think it's very clever, the way John articulates every word as if he was singing about something intensely heavy and significant. And I think Ringo's playing on Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite is fantastic. I like Good Morning, Good Morning. I think it's a song that's tended to overlook, or be overlooked. It's the kind of thing that the Beatles did so well. In a sense, it's a throwaway track, but in the sense, it's a magnificent piece of pop music. It's got that sort of insouciance and that charm that permeates their music. And I just think it's a wonderful piece that people have a tendency to overlook.
Yeah, slow down a little bit on that, because I would tend to agree. There's something, and you know, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I'd like for you to reflect a little bit more about it. There's kind of a grittiness and a drive to that track that always appealed to me.
Well, I think Sgt. Pepper, much like some of the stuff on Revolver, shows the Beatles as a terrific rock band. I had a conversation not long ago with Jules Martin, son of George Martin, a music producer who helped reorganize the Beatles' music for the show in Las Vegas, Cirque du Soleil, and the result was the Beatles' album Love. And the one thing he kept saying to me was listening to the old Beatles tracks revealed to him what a terrific band they were. And I think Good Morning, Good Morning is an example of that. This is just four guys really rocking out and doing it very well. And one of the things about the partnership among the four of them was you have four distinct personalities working at once. And there is a bit of nastiness in that song, and yet there's a bit of good cheer in that song as well. It's the same thing that happens in Getting Better. You have Paul singing, I've got to admit, it's getting better. And you have John saying, because it can't get much worse. This is the essence of the creative process revealed to us, where you can see distinct personalities coming together to create something larger than either of the contributors.
One of my commentators mentioned that Pepper is maybe the last time where you see a lot of that between Lennon and McCartney, that on succeeding albums they were sort of drifting into their own studios, doing their own thing, contributing less to each other's music. Would you agree that trend observation?
I would say that Sgt. Pepper is probably the last time you see the Beatles as a working band of four equals in the recording studio. For some of the late stuff, they came back together and did some playing as a band, but that was sort of ex-studio, and I would say Sgt. Pepper is the last time you see the Beatles working together as a rock band in the studio.
Are there any other details that pop out in particular songs that you, when thinking about this, wanted to point out?
Well, I do think when we're discussing Sgt. Pepper, it's important to talk about the contribution of George Martin. I think the string sections are really gorgeous. I think the strings that he wrote for, there's so many lovely ones.
She's Leaving Home.
Yeah, let me get to that again.
Okay.
I think the strings that he wrote for She's Leaving Home, I think the keyboard parts he played for Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite are wonderful. I think George Martin always had a big influence on the end product of the Beatles. And I think on this album, his brilliance as an arranger, as a conductor, and as someone who got the best out of the material presented to him as a producer really shows.
When you read the histories, this seems like the... This seems as much as anything like the moment when the Beatles were bringing concepts to Martin and saying, I want it to sound like this. And when I hear this album and think about its construction and Martin's contribution, you know, I think of those little scant conversations that, you know, sometimes the marijuana-inflected Beatles were probably bringing to him, and he was coming up with some end game that worked.
Well, I don't think drugs are useful for anything in the creative process. So I think it probably George Martin did have a maturing and calming and reasonable effect on them and told them what could be done and what couldn't be done. You know, if you look at Revolver, that's about as far as you can go with straight-ahead rock from these four guys. And I think it's a terrific album. I really think Revolver is underrated in the shadow of Sgt. Pepper. But I do think that there's a lot of concept, a lot of cut and paste, a lot of different ideas coming together in Sgt. Pepper. And I think a lot of credit for that has to be given to George Martin. I don't think John and Paul were ever ungenerous to George Martin. But I do think that very few people look at Sgt. Pepper as the product of five musicians rather than four.
McCartney is given a lot of credit for the concept of this album and is predominant as a songwriter, I would say, too. Are there, among his tracks here, are there any that you think stand out in terms of songcraft from him?
I don't think that this is a great album for songs. I think it's a great album for performances. You know, there's a big difference between a song and the end product. And I think something that was said earlier about the cut and paste nature of Sgt. Pepper indicates that there's more of craft in terms of cutting and pasting and using the studio than there is in bringing a complete song in that can be played and sung from beginning straight through to the end. That said, I think Fixing a Hole is a pretty clever song. I think it's got some interesting touches to it. I think She's Leaving Home is a little overbearing, a little overwrought, but it has that wonderful lyric, "She's leaving home after living alone for so many years." It's really wonderful little slice of life, the kind of thing Paul did so well, where he would sort of just open a window or pull back a curtain and let us look at a character's life for 3 or 4 minutes.
Go ahead. I think the context of that song, the lines between the generations were very heavily drawn in 1967, and the way that song sort of paints that picture and creates a little movie with both sides of the generation gap seemed probably a little bit more dramatic and compelling for 1967 than it does today.
Well, I don't really know what the genesis of the song is. I do remember when I was very young hearing it and being somewhat taken with the parents' point of view in the song. I think it's a balanced view of a relationship that's falling apart. Well, my one piece of advice to anybody coming upon Sgt. Pepper for the first time, what a wonderful experience it would be to have that, to hear Sgt. Pepper for the first time again, would be to take it for what it is, just to take it as a rock album, and don't overburden it with social commentary and cultural perspectives. Just listen to it as a rock album, and it's pretty terrific. If the question is, does Sgt. Pepper matter? It matters like The Simpsons matter, or it matters like, you know, chocolate chip mint ice cream matters. Our life might be diminished without it, but, I don't believe many lives have been saved by Sgt. Pepper. And I don't think it's the best Beatles album. I don't think it's as good as Revolver. I don't think it's as good as Rubber Soul. I don't think it's as good as Pet Sounds or OK Computer or What's Going On or Kind of Blue or A Love Supreme. I just think it's a terrific rock album, and it's stood up very well over the years. Whether it will continue to stand up when all of us who were alive in 1967 are gone remains to be seen. But as a piece of rock and roll and a little bit of experimentation with what you can do in the studio, Sgt. Pepper is terrific.